Time has passed. A bit too long. It has been many years. But on this day, a new beginning. Despite their best intentions, they may have been too hasty.
Do you think I'm developing like a negative view?
Yes. Yeah, I kind
of
do.
Of course everything's not fine.
It's not fine.
Fine.
Travis, this is what happens. Mike tells you to do something he's uncomfortable with doing. When you don't do it, now he has a chance to berate you instead of himself for not doing them.
It's amazing you've been able to stick around that long, Napier.
Thank you.
You might as well call this the wheelbarrow full of dicks where we shit on drunk podcast.
Maybe we shouldn't shit on drunk this week. I feel bad now because drunk's sad.
Drunk is not a child.
Sick. Drunk is a grown-ass man.
Shit on me all day, bro.
Drunk.
My chest is open for your shit.
For the first time in quite a while, the new sense of purpose. WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Throw away 2017.
Guys, the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program is live. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. In 8 years of broadcasting, my co-host's only notes he's given me is that I should mention his tits more. Mr. Mike Napier is here. Hi, Napier.
Sup?
Also joining us in studio, Drunk is here on time.
Very excited.
It's pretty exciting. And the albino alligator, the king of pranks, Mr. Travis Hulse.
It feels so good to be back. 2018. This is great. I'm very excited.
We do have a very special program for you tonight.
Matt, I can't believe Drunk's here, like at the beginning of the program.
He's
like
turning over a new leaf.
I'm trying my best.
Turning over a new leaf. Matt from the Lotus Cast is here also, guys. Everybody say hello to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
Well, he's just so quiet. Why is he so quiet?
I don't know.
We were just talking to him, and he was plenty loud. Now he's
Everything's
quiet.
Everything's great. Now we started, and it's a new year. Forget about it. It's all working out just fine.
It's a special week, though, Drunk.
Is it now?
We're starting off the year, and we're starting off the year right. We're doing a blanket show.
Blanket show, I got mine.
The blanket show is happening. Drunk, what I need you to do for the blanket show.
Okay.
So I want you to put the blanket, drape it over your head and the microphone. Whoa. like you're a spooky ghost.
Jeez, okay.
Drunk, I'm going to see. It'll be fun because we're sitting right next to each other, but we can't see each other.
Isn't that how you always wanted it?
Blanket show. Drunk. Matt, are you louder yet?
I don't know.
Oh, Matt, you're so quiet, Matt.
Oh, no.
Matt, is your co-host sister still hot, or?
Oh.
Mandy from the Furnacast invited me to join some Facebook group, and the people in it are just so hateable. It's like a podcast group, and every day I open it up, and I just hate everyone in it. And I just actively hate them, and it fuels me. Like, I think I'm like a product of hate.
Do you take to Twitter with your hate?
This is the same group that you, as soon as Mandy tried to add you, you immediately added me, and I look at my Facebook.
Oh, right,
and
right.
Said, oh, you're now a part of this blah, blah group.
That's what I do, Travis. I search for allies.
Yeah, I glance at it for 2 seconds and immediately left the group.
We're hearing us echoing back.
I hear that
as well.
It really bums me out. It's probably Matt.
Is it me? How could it be me?
You're the only one that isn't echoing, Matt.
I'm not echoing?
You're louder now.
And we're not echoing anymore. I think we're good.
It's fucking ridiculous shit.
Drunk. Did you do the spooky ghost? I took my blanket up and I saw you and you weren't spooky ghosting with me.
It got too hot under there.
It is. It's very hot.
Yeah.
Just see what happens.
And I had Chinese food, so my breath kind
of
stank.
You shared that picture with me of that one guy or gal who said that they showed a picture of their recording studio, and it was just a picture of their couch with somebody under a blanket, which then they obviously had like a laptop on their lap.
It looked like he had draped a blanket over like his cat's scratchy house thing. You know,
right,
like a carpeted scratchy house?
It didn't even look like he could have put the blanket on himself. It would have been like he had, hey, honey, I'm about to record my podcast. Can you drape the podcast blanket over the top of me and the computer, please?
He made a blanket for it, is what
ridiculous.
He did. He made a blanket for it. And so I thought we were missing out on something because we've been doing this show all this time and we have not put blankets over our head. And like when I replied to the blanket people in the podcast group, I was like, you climb in that blanket fort to do your podcast? And like three people replied to me like, yeah, don't you? We all get in our blanket forts. And apparently, like, it makes your sound better because I guess you're not bouncing off the walls. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You get those foam things. You stick them to your walls so that the sound goes in the foam things.
Mike, I think they're Billy Madison-ing you.
You think they're trying to trick me into being a spooky ghost?
So I guess we need...
Remember in Billy Madison where that kid pissed his pants and then Billy Madison pissed his pants and said that, no, only the cool kids piss their pants. Mike, none of them do that. That one guy you saw is the only one there doing it. And everybody's trying to make him feel better for, you know, pissing his pants.
Napier, I'm always looking for ways to improve. And if blanket forts are the answer, then I'm going to make us a blanket fort.
No, Mike, you're just going to make the bus smell like piss.
You know who has no interest in improving is Travis and Napier. I told them a week ago, guys, you got to bring a blanket. We're doing a blanket show. And they said, yeah, I'm not doing that. It's the year of bits, 2018. 2018 is the year of bits, and we're off to a bad start.
Sorry, Mike, I don't believe in blankets. This is a blanket-free zone.
Do you think it's the blankets, the lack of blankets, or the fact that I hear myself three different times in a weird echo?
You're still hearing the weird echo.
No, that's gone now.
See, now you're just making excuses to not have a blanket is what you're doing.
I did refuse at first to wear a blanket. Then I was watching a little bit of Black Mirror and I had a blanket on me and I'm like, oh, this is much more cozy than not having a blanket on. And I really did. I did plan on bringing a blanket down here, but it's been so long since we recorded the show that I was scrambling to even get ready and plug things in, like important things like the microphone. And then I sat down. And I was like, yeah, well,
Matt, are you
like
a spooky ghost?
How many blankets Drunk has in his kitchen?
You would not believe the amount of blankets that I have. They're not necessarily in my kitchen, but I do have a lot of blankets.
Do you pick up blankets along the way? You go somewhere and you see yourself a blanket, and you're like, that blanket should be my blanket. Are you a hoarder?
No, I wouldn't call myself a hoarder.
Do you have any abundance of items?
Well, I mean, what's an abundance? I mean, you can walk straightly through my house. There's no, like, aisles and whatnot. You can...
Like, if I came to your house...
If you watch The Buried Alive, you know, they got, like, the two tunnels to
Would I describe your home as cluttered?
No.
Can you fit your car in your garage?
Buried under something.
It's only a single car garage, so even if there was nothing in there, it'd be a tight fit.
All right, Travis, right now, I am unblanketed.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready? Here's blanket, Mike. Do you notice any noticeable difference with the blanket? Or was I fooled?
You actually sound worse, no. I think.
You think I sound worse?
I do.
I think you sound worse, too. It's more muffled.
The podcast people tricked me.
That's why I left the group immediately. You knew they were up to no good as soon as I read the first. I can't even remember what the first post was, but I was like, these are not my people.
I saw a guy who posted something about when he's buried, he wants to be buried with a microphone so that he
can. Oh, yeah, that was me.
Was that you, Matt?
Yeah, that was me.
Because podcasting is your passion.
It's what I do.
And he thought that was a direct message to me because we have something worked out where I kill him next week. So he's got his microphone all set.
You know, it's funny.
Sounds
you
like
mentioned
a fucking
the
natural mommy's club.
You guys mentioned the cool kids, and I was watching the Golden Globes last night.
The Golden Girls?
The Golden Globes was a big pile of shit. It was really, really dumb.
Was that Seth Meyers that,
Yeah, Seth Meyers hosted the Golden Globes.
Isn't this the same award show that awarded that weird Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp movie Best Comedy of the Year a handful of years back?
Wasn't intended to be a comedy that
movie. Yeah, you can't put any stakes in the Golden Globes.
Is that the one that does the TV and the movies?
Yeah, they do it all.
The Associated Foreign Press.
The Golden Globes, there was two nominations that I noticed specifically because they brought the subjects of their films with them. Margot Robbie brought Tanya Harding to the Golden Globes, and James Franco brought Tommy Wiseau to the Golden Globes. And
one of those makes sense.
I can't help but look at those and think that it has to be really surreal for like Tanya Harding to show up to the Golden Globes and watch somebody be celebrated for basically like making fun of her. I mean, she puts on a country bumpkin accent and makes a film about, you know, her husband beating the shit out of her and stuff. And you know, Tommy Wiseau, you can't look at that movie. You can spin it any way you want it. That movie's making fun of Tommy Wiseau. It's saying you made a really shitty movie and we're going to make fun of it.
Well, one of those people, probably you can't sink their pride any lower because she was on like celebrity boxing where she like boxed some other D-list, like kind of in the news celebrity.
Wasn't it Kathy Griffin?
Well, they blacklisted her from skating. That was what she grew up doing. That was the only thing she knew how to do.
Right. So she did a bunch of random shit. Like she was probably in a reality house. She did some weird boxing where she got her ass kicked. What I mean, how much lower can you? She's probably like working as like a temp in some office somewhere. It's probably just fine for her.
I don't know. I can't help but feel like, you know, she's showing up to watch somebody be celebrated for making fun of her. And, you know, they're the cool kids.
She's had to watch like that. I mean, there's been TV movies and parody movies.
They're the beautiful people. They're the. The Hollywood elite.
So Margot Robbie played Tanya Harding.
That is very generous casting. Generous.
I wouldn't throw rocks at Margot Robbie, but I would throw rocks at Tanya Harding.
You'd throw rocks at her?
Yeah, throw rocks.
It was the same thing as when they made Charlize Theron, that weird Eileen, that serial killer gal, where they just like uglied her up super hard. And she almost won. Did she win an Academy Award? She was nominated, I think.
Yeah, I think she did win. But I mean, yeah, she wasn't her guest to the Golden Globes.
No, that's true. It'd probably be hard to bring her to the Academy Awards and dig her out of prison if she's still alive.
We've had a couple of weeks off, and it's been pleasant, actually. But I have a backlog of things.
I was about to say your notebook is thick.
I got so many things, drunk, and I don't know if we're gonna have time for all my things.
Well, you said it was kind of pleasant not to be recording the show, but at the same time, didn't you completely miss it?
I did, because it's like, you know, I want to get my words out.
Yeah, like, spread the word about your things.
We didn't talk at all about Star Wars, Travis. Everybody's done their obligatory Star Wars podcast. We haven't done it yet.
I feel like it was somebody's pick of the week one week.
Was that your pick of the week?
I think it was Travis's pick of the week one week.
Travis liked the Star Wars.
I loved it. My favorite Star Wars movie. I saw it a second time just a few days ago. It is my favorite Star Wars.
Matt, I invited you to do the show because you missed the week that your podcast did Star Wars.
I did miss the week, but I like the Star Wars too. I thought it was really good.
You know what I thought about the Star Wars? Thought it was fine.
Oh, god damn it,
man. The Star Wars was fine. They did Star Wars things, like they fought with laser swords, zapped each other with ray guns, they flew around in spaceships, they did all the Star Wars things that you typically do in a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
When I got done with it, I said, you know what, That was what I expected it to be. It was a Star Wars movie. They did Star Wars things. It was fine.
Yeah, me and my lady went to a movie a couple weeks ago, but we decided not Star Wars.
Mike, I love you a lot. I hate the fine bit.
What? It's not a bit, Matt. Everything is varying degrees of fine. That's fine.
Mike, it's
fine.
Either just fine or he will go on a 20-minute rant about why it's the worst thing.
Yeah, I can't stand it. It's always like, oh, this was fine.
The Tonya Harding movie was great. Loved the Tonya Harding movie.
Man, I didn't even notice this came out.
Justice League was fine. Bright, fine.
My lady really enjoyed the Bright.
I watched Bright, and there was dumb things in it. But like when it was over, Bright. I said, you know what? That was fine.
It's a dumb premise.
Like
it's
I wasn't
alien,
mad that I watched it.
Nation.
It was fine.
It's Alien Nation with D&D characters. It's a dumb premise.
It's really strange.
No, it wasn't.
They made all of the orcs just all of the minorities. They replaced the minorities in America with orcs and fairies. And
well, the fairies were the elite. Those were the rich people. So those were your 1%ers. Oh, yes, the elves. The fairies were rats. You got to smash those out of your bird feeders.
You know what? That is kind of what you need to unite the human race, is something that they can all hate.
Of course.
Like if aliens came, there wouldn't be racists anymore, because we'd all be like, dude, we got to do something about all these fucking aliens.
It'd be District 9. We'd be living in the District 9 world.
No, they had something before District 9. God, what was that?
V.
No, it was before V.
Before V? V yeah, was like V. The 80s.
No, we're talking about the fucking 90s. God, I can't remember that TV show. That's going to fuck me up till I remember it.
Dinosaurs. Not the mama.
What?
I don't know.
You just wanted to reference things?
Yeah.
That's all he wanted to do.
Some TV show from the 90s.
Not the mama over the weekend. And he's just, man, I can't wait to get this in on WFOD on Monday.
Is there other like pop culture things like when Fred Flintstone comes home and yells, "Wilma, you want to do that?"
No, I'm good.
No, okay.
I wanted to shout Dan in a Roseanne voice, but I couldn't muster that up. I was trying to drop a pop culture reference too.
Guys,
oh God, Alien Nation! I found it. Alien Nation.
Ain't that what Travis said that at the beginning? The very first thing he brought up.
Yeah,
the first thing I compared it to, and you said, "Nope, it's just like that other show before that."
Said,
no,
not
you
the
didn't
mama.
Say Alien Nation. I didn't hear that.
It was dinosaurs at Napier. Dinosaurs, not the mama.
2018.
We're off to a good start, guys. Off to a good start.
It's fine, Mike. It's
so
fine.
Get on to your list. You had a notebook full of stuff. I have one thing I'd like to talk to.
Oh?
Let's get through a couple of your notebook, your jots.
You know, it's just that there's so many things, and we have a guest coming up, so we have to go on break on time, Travis. We have some time.
Can we spend it talking about how much time we have?
That laugh.
So I took the trash out this morning, about 6 o'clock this morning. It's a quick story, guys. Took the trash out this morning, and there was the smoke detector. All the houses in my neighborhood are vacant. I'm like the only one that lives here.
Yep.
All the houses are vacant, and there's a smoke detector going off. So, you know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, that's weird. One of the vacant houses has a smoke detector going off. Mm-hmm. I go about my day. I do some things. Come home.
Still going off.
Around 1 o'clock, I am outside again. You know, I'm checking the mail and whatnot. And smoke detector is still going off. I'm like, that son of a bitch has been going off for like 7 hours. And so I think to myself.
Self?
These vacant houses, Drunk.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if that house is on fire, if there's something going on in that house, if there's a slow simmer or mm-hmm. something, you know, who's going to know about it?
Nobody.
So I call the non-emergency police phone number.
Yes, sir.
And I say, hey, guys, check this out. Smoke detector's going off in the vacant house next door to me for like 7 hours. Is that something that I should call you about? Is there a non-emergency fire number I can call? What would you say I should do?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, you're not in our jurisdiction, so you need to call somebody else. Call somebody else. And they say, yeah, we'll send you to dispatch. Send me to a third person. Dispatch says, I'll call the dispatch for the fire department. Calls another person. So I have talked to four people, told the same wow. story four times.
Mm-hmm. You're a patient man, by the way.
I am. But, you know, the smoke detector's going off. Want to do the right thing. If I didn't do this, by the way, it would end catastrophically.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
The karma would have got me. So do you have a question, Travis?
Are these houses, you said they're all vague. I mean, first of all, isn't that creepy as shit to be like the only person living?
Yeah, I live in a zombie wasteland, Travis. It's and nobody like crazy, lives right? in my neighborhood but me.
And also, like, are these houses for sale or are they just abandoned?
No, they're just vacant.
It's a bit of an exaggeration.
Abandoned houses.
They don't even try to sell them. Nobody gives a shit. I'm the only one that lives here. I live in a ghost town.
Why don't you just make one of them like your shed? You can just put your shit in one of them.
So they say, oh, yeah, we'll send somebody out. A couple minutes later, the goddamn whole big fire truck comes roaring down the street with the lights blazing. And I'm like, oh, this is overkill. This is going to be too much. And so they jump off the moving truck. They are ready to fucking go, right?
Yep.
And so they're all kind of hoarding around this house and circling it to see it. And, you know, they have one of those big rollaway dumpsters in the driveway because, you know, the people that lived in this house just fucking wrecked it.
Right.
And they threw away everything. They Typical. Gutted this house.
Mm-hmm.
And the fireman, he goes, it's coming from in the dumpster. So he climbs in the dumpster and he smashes the smoke detector. And then they all get in the truck and drive off.
Wow.
They threw away the smoke detector?
Huh?
That just seems silly.
They smashed it. It was in the trash.
But why throw away the smoke detector?
Oh, why did the people throw it away?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe like somebody shit on it or something. I have no idea why.
That just seems silly.
The bank, I'm sure, sent somebody in there, like you said, to just gut the place because they had fucked it up so bad. So I'm sure like whatever wall they took off had that smoke detector on. Yeah. The thing that's kind of crazy is that house that you're living next to has no smoke detector. So
maybe they replaced it. Travis, let's think optimistically. It's 2018. So they drove off and Laura, she chastised me. She said, you should not have called anyone. Now we're going to get a reputation in the neighborhood as being the people who call the police and the fire department.
Nobody lives in your neighborhood. Gosh. Who cares?
Did she say it in that voice?
That was my voice, Matt. But like, you know, she has her own voice.
The condescending tone.
Oh yeah. That's pretty accurate. And so, I
think you did the right thing.
You think that's all I wanted. I wanted validation. I wanted you guys to tell me I did the right thing.
Because if your neighbor house burns down, your house is likely to burn down too.
And then I got an eyesore next to me. It's a firehouse. And then people will slow down to view the firehouse.
No, and they will not bulldoze that. They will leave that thing half burned down for years.
And if I didn't call, then it would have been a fire.
You did the right thing. I wouldn't have done it, but you did the right thing.
What would you have done?
Yeah, I just left it.
The battery would go dead eventually?
Yeah.
Mike, you did the right thing.
Thanks, Napes.
You saw something fucking stupid going on where you live. You called the people responsible for taking care of dumb shit. And you know what? They fucking took care of it. Doesn't matter that it was a broken smoke alarm in a dumpster. They found the problem. It was a problem. They fixed it, and then they left.
I called the people who fixed dumb shit.
Exactly.
That's what your tax dollars go towards.
Do you know how much it cost to get those guys on that truck and drive out to that house and smash a fucking fire alarm?
Oh,
they're not paid by the hour. Their money's already been allocated. They can either sit in the firehouse or go to this place with a fire alarm going off.
You think that's true? Matter. You think they're just paid hourly, whether they go on things or not?
Absolutely.
That truck gets 60 miles to the gallon. No, 2 miles to the gallon. Sorry,
less than a mile from that house. I know where the fire department is relative to Mike's house. It cost them less than a gallon of gas. They went out there, fixed shit, came back. It cost the city a gallon of gas.
The fire department is literally right across the street. $2.
Yeah,
yeah. The firefighter, like he broke some skin while smashing that. He's going to be in the hospital. He's out for a while.
He's on leave. Your tax dollars paying for this firefighter on leave. Now they got to get another volunteer to like take his place.
Oh no, they're not volunteers. They actually pay their folk.
So
these are professionals.
I mean, that was a good self-contained 8-minute story, Travis.
They'll charge the owner of that house for that call though. Like, that's what they do. Like if it's something that is caused by the owner of the property, like you say that, yeah, the monies are allocated to all these firefighters and shit. But if you're, like, doing some controlled burning in, like, your garden to burn out, like, the old shit from last year and it spreads just a little bit and you're like, oh, I don't think I can handle this with a hose, and you call the fire department, you will get a fine for, like, $1,000 because they had to come to your place. So I would assume that the owner of that house will get a bill in the mail.
Guys, we're going to go to break. The bank right doesn't care. Now.
Mike, you know what? You should be known up. As
shut
the
up. Got to go to break.
We're going to break.
WFOD. Thought it'd be best for him to sit tight. Wait for his return.
That's what you thought. Reb, I want you to listen to me. See, you're not educated. You're not an intelligent man. In fact, you're stupid. You are a stupid man. You are a hired thug who shoots people. You cannot offer me anything I cannot buy 100 times over. You understand?
Yeah, I hear you.
Therefore, I do not want to know what you think about anything ever. I pay you to do what I think, and right now I think you're forgetting who's running this show. See, this ain't your town, son. This town belongs to me. I'm the mayor, and that's just the start. So don't you dare presume to bite the hand that feeds you, lest you find yourself dying of starvation. Savvy?
Guys, Napier here. I got a special product for you from the makers of the Fleshlight. Come the next evolution in simulated human interaction, the Backpat. Reward your virtue signaling by patting yourself on the back with a replica silicone mold of your favorite social justice spokesperson. Did you post a homeless person meme on your Facebook page to raise awareness of the hunger problem around the world? Don't you think Gwyneth Paltrow should recognize your selflessness? Now she can! With the cost of just $49.99 plus shipping and processing fee, you can pat yourself on the back with style with a mold taken directly from the star herself. Order the backpack today. Also coming soon, the jerk-off model. Ever wanted to show Kevin Smith your appreciation for inspiring you to make a podcast? Send him the best fan mail on the market, made directly from a cast of your hand. So Mr. Smith can give himself a Dutch rudder sent directly from our casting plant to his doorstep. The jerk-off and the backpack are perfect for any holiday gift. Order one today. Dial toll-free 1-800-487-HAND. That's 1-800-487-4263. Or on the internet at backpack.horse. That's backpack.horse. Get it today.
Hey, fuckwads, did you know that we're on the TuneIn app for your smartphone? Wherever you go. That's right, take us anywhere. Take us to the fucking mall, take us to the boat, take them in your car, do whatever the fuck you want. You can listen 24 hours a day to StrangeLabel.com. Download the app, search for Strange Label. StrangeLabel.com. On your phone.
Like us, follow us, stalk us. We love the attention.
This is Tai Sui, and you're tuning into Strange Label Radio. So let's bring in this new year with a bang.
Our guest tonight is the director of Justice, a period Western action drama available on digital and on demand. Richard Gabay is on the program. Richard, how are you doing?
Hey. Good, man. How are you?
I'm great. We watched your film, and we enjoyed it a lot.
I'm glad to hear that. When I heard you guys didn't cancel me as a guest, I figured you were in okay shape.
We rarely cancel. We rarely cancel. People
but often get canceled on.
We get canceled on. That does happen.
Yeah, we will lie and say how much we liked a project and still have the guest on.
Yeah, right. But then if they cancel on us, then we say our true feelings.
Then it's all season. All bets are off. Right.
So
enjoyed the movie.
You made a Western, Richard. They're not making a lot of Westerns these days. Why are they not making more Westerns? I liked it, and it made me think, why is there not more Westerns out there?
Well, I think there are a few every year. One of the main reasons is that they pretty much only have a U.S. audience. So when you're trying to finance a movie, if you're not remaking The Magnificent Seven with Denzel Washington, it's pretty tough.
Is that true that the only U.S. audiences like Westerns?
That is true.
There isn't a romanticizing of the West anymore? Are they over us? The rest of the world?
I don't think they're over us. I think it may have always been the case. I mean, Westerns sell to Australia, and I think they sell to Italy. But
I was going to say, I think Italy has a pretty big Western audience.
That's kind of about it. But, it's not big. And releasing a movie theatrically, costs big money. So then it just leaves the ancillary markets. And with the demise of DVD, pretty much, those numbers are just so small that if you're not going to get a bunch of the major countries overseas, you got to pretty much finance it on a U.S. sale. So I think that makes it a little bit riskier. And since the Western genre, you know, it takes some horses and some guns and some sets. It's not like, you know, making a movie in a warehouse with a bunch of guys in black suits or something.
I was wondering if the Western landscaping that they use in Westerns, it's all kind of the same setup, right? There's a small town. You got to have a place in the middle where everybody can meet in the dirt and have a duel. And there's got to be a saloon, right? Do you guys just recycle the same one over and over again?
Well, it's interesting. This is my first Western. It's been on my cinematic bucket list since I was a little kid and first developed a love for movies. You know, I was a big fan of classic Westerns from Howard Hawks and John Ford and all that. So I always wanted to make a Western. But this is the only one I've ever made. So this is the only one that I could speak to. We shot the film in New Mexico, at a place called the Bonanza Creek Ranch. And what's interesting about it, it has that town and it has the saloon and a lot of Westerns have shot there. I mean, 310 to Yuma, a few years ago. And I mean, innumerable Westerns. And what's interesting is one of the early Westerns that I saw that actually came out, I was a really little kid and I went and saw a John Wayne Western called The Cowboys, and it starred Robert Carradine. It was his first movie, and Robert Carradine, who sort of got a lot of fame as Lewis in Revenge of the Nerds and then was the dad on Lizzie McGuire and all that other stuff, has had a pretty big film career. And his first movie was The Cowboys with John Wayne. And interestingly enough, it was shot at the Bonanza Creek Ranch in New Mexico. So when I called him up,
it's one of my favorite John Wayne films.
It's a great movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
It's actually a script I'm, sort of working with a producer on of the Cowgirls, kind of a flip of that. But
you're gonna Ghostbusters it?
Only it'll be good. and I honestly didn't see the remake of the Ghostbusters. I just refused.
Mike, here's your line. What did you think about the new Ghostbusters?
Richard, I'll tell you about the Ghostbusters. The Ghostbusters remake, it was fine. It wasn't like great, but you watch
it. No, it wasn't fine.
And there
it
was
sucked.
Some things that were funny in it, and ultimately, like it was fine. If you put Ghostbusters on a pedestal, and you want to make it as good as Ghostbusters, it's not going to be. But if you just go see the movie, it's fine.
Right. Like, if I had seen the trailers that annoyed the high holy hell out of me, I might have just had a good time at the movie.
That's right. You got to go into it.
But anyway.
It's Ghostbusters as an SNL.
They're all extremely successful and extremely talented, and I should be so lucky as to make a film of that caliber. But
That is the beautiful answer.
It's the truth. I've been kind of a blue collar filmmaker for 25 years. I've, directed 26 independent movies, I think. So, but I really enjoy the experience of actually making a Western. And even though it was shot in 18 days, which is fairly remarkable from a production standpoint and had an extremely limited budget, the crew and everyone I was working with in New Mexico and my cinematographer Scott Peck, who came out from LA with me, and the post-production facility I work with, and my buddies here in LA, Jeff Murphy and his gang at Quest, we really were able to, I think, pull it off. It certainly doesn't look like a small movie to me.
It has some big names in it. You got a Twilight guy in it, and you got Meadow Soprano, and you got the Stephen Lang, the bad guy from Avatar.
And Slang is awesome.
That guy, my Slang. He has a bad guy face. He's a perfect bad guy for everything because he's just got the bad guy face.
He's an extremely talented guy and such a sweet guy to work with. Not to throw any of the other great actors I've worked with under any kind of bus, because I've been fortunate to work with a lot of great actors. I think he's the finest actor I ever worked with.
Just one
and
take
and
done.
The best in me and brought out the best in everybody else.
We played a clip of your movie before you came on, and it was of him. It was my favorite part of the movie, where he just kind of says some cold blooded shit, drunk. He says some cold blooded shit.
You are a stupid man. I don't hire you to think. I heard the clips. That's when I called in and I heard it. And that's one of my favorite scenes. And it's a funny story about shooting that scene is that we shot the scene with John Lewis, who played Reb, who's also one of the writers and one of the producers on the film, and Steven. And there was a human error in the downloading of the footage. And we lost John's whole side of the scene, his entire, all of his lines back to Stephen Lang, his entire close-up in all sizes. And we had to go back 4 days later and reshoot his entire
just his
side
part?
Of the scene with just his part. And I you know, I sat there next to the camera and went back into actor mode and I played the Stephen Lang part. And, well, I think it's still one of the best scenes.
Yeah, it's the best scene in the movie.
Yeah. And John Lewis's part, Reb, he did all of that opposite me. So there you go. The magic of movies.
Hey, Matt, do
and
you?
Yes, we were fully annoyed when we found out that footage had gotten, as Schwarzenegger would have said, erased.
So it was somebody's fault?
Just human error. Human error.
Were they chastised for their error?
Well, you know, you saw that whipping scene that we had later in the film. We just put him on that for
an
a while.
An impromptu stunt double.
Really, how many times have you had to really tell somebody they'll never work in this town again?
Oh, that's a good line. A 25 career, I guarantee. Said
you know,
before,
you know what my favorite line is. I say it to other people. If someone and I get along, I'm not saying this because I'm on a show that has billions of listeners, as I'm sure this does.
Oh, billions.
But I work with great people. But if there's somebody new who I just, you know, is annoying one of my regular guys, I always go up to him and I said, you know, that guy, Mike, I just gave him a 2-picture deal. And the guy, my friend would be like, really? I said, yeah, his first and his last. But I've never said that anyone would ever work again. It's usually a fear I hold out for myself. You know, after every movie, I wonder if I'm ever going to work again. And thankfully, it usually what always has come to pass that I do.
Richard, while I was looking stuff up on you, I found Dinosaur Island on YouTube.
You can't go wrong with that.
Richard, Dinosaur Island is a masterpiece, Richard.
You know, it really is. It really and truly is. And
wait a minute, Richard, you made that movie?
I starred in that movie. I didn't make that movie.
You starred in that movie?
Matt, the clip I sent you earlier, that was Richard.
That was Richard?
That was Richard.
With the big heavy tit broad on top of him?
Yeah, we're not going to go into graphic detail now.
Richard, what was that dinosaur made out of?
It can't be too graphic. It was on YouTube. I couldn't believe it when you sent that clip. I'd never seen the film, and you sent that clip, and I was like, I'm intrigued, obviously, by the clip you sent, but I couldn't believe it was on
YouTube. It was a Roger Corman movie, if you're familiar with it, King of Bee and genre pictures.
I love Roger Corman.
And that was a fantastic experience.
Is that on the DVD? Can you get Dinosaur Island? Because Dinosaur Island is a masterpiece that needs to be enjoyed by a new audience.
It does. It was, you know, from the full uncut version through to the USA Up All Night version, it is a classic. And there are very few people who have spent a couple of weeks on Dinosaur Island with a bunch of cave girls.
Richard, USA Up All Night. Was it the Rhonda Shear years or the Gilbert Godfrey years when they played that?
They were together. What are you talking about?
Oh my God, you got both of them?
Yeah. Well, do you know, I mean,
I might have seen this motion.
We do digress, but we might as well. I mean, I was kind of one of the kings of USA Up All Night. I starred in so many movies that played on Up All Night.
Oh, I always
the first film I directed, Assault of the Party Nerds.
Oh, I
started and wrote and directed. Come on.
Party
and, you know, Gilbert Gottfried himself, when they had the USA Up All Night B-Movie Awards, I was there. They had this televised B-Movie Awards. I don't know if you saw that, but they did like an Oscars of USA Up All Night movies. And Gilbert came up to me and he goes, Assault of the Party Nerds. It's my favorite film ever.
I used to love going to my grandparents' house. Like, my mom would pawn me off of my grandparents, and my grandparents would always go to bed at like 9:30, and I was always so excited because they had cable and I got to stay up and watch USA Up all night. It was either a Roger Corman movie or it was a trauma movie, typically.
Yeah, a bunch of it. I made Assault of the Party Nerds, and I made Assault of the Party Nerds 2, The Heavy Petting Detective, that played on Up All Night. And I think even Virgin High played on Up All Night also.
That's not the one with Burt Ward in it, is it?
It is. Of course it is. I started that, and I directed it and wrote it.
You're kidding me!
Travis, I want to know...
I wouldn't lie to you.
I want to know if the dinosaur was a robot, or if there's people in the dinosaur.
Virgin High is like a pinnacle of like my preteen adolescent years. I taped that off of TV and watched it over and over and over again.
I want to learn about the magic
and
of movies.
And here you are, speaking to Jerry Kaminsky himself.
Holy shit. Mike, why didn't you tell me?
Travis, you could do some research for yourself.
A poster from Columbia Pictures. I'm looking at it right now. It hangs in my living room. It's the crowning achievement of that part of my career.
That's amazing. Kudos to you, sir, and a lot of the enjoyment you gave me as a young man.
Thank you very much.
But the USA Up All Night, that's not what Justice is. Justice is like a...
No, Justice Justice is
a Western.
Was
the
released by Universal Pictures, and you know, it was released in 10 cities theatrically, and it was when it first was released, it was number one on the iTunes Western list for a couple of weeks and remained in the top 200 movies for quite a while, and thankfully it's doing really well. I mean, yeah, it's been those movies are all that we were talking about are all 25 years old. So,
no robot dinosaurs in Justice.
Although, no, John, Justice was
robot
was
dinosaurs
really
would be pretty cool. Like, if you put robot dinosaurs in Justice, I don't know if you could add them in post.
Probably be a different movie though.
It'd be pretty cool though.
We were trying to make a classic Western that modern audiences would dig, and I hope that we succeeded. The feedback we've gotten has certainly been great, and you know, all the genre pictures that I did early on, and they certainly they were my film school. I didn't go to film school. I studied journalism. I didn't have any family members in the business. I got in the business through acting, and all part of the journey. You know, I made for the last 10 years. I've made, you know, kind of dramatic thrillers or action films, and I'm thrilled to be doing it.
Richard, the movie made me want to see more Westerns. Are you making more Westerns, or is that your thing now?
I hope so. Well, you know, my thing is, you know, is whatever
your thing is working.
There's a lot of irons in the fire. And the first iron that comes connected to a check is what I'm doing next. assuming that, you know, obviously, you know, I wasn't at the Golden Globes, but, you know, I certainly am on enough in my career that I'm not going to just take or make any movie anymore. But yeah, I don't know exactly what's next, but I'd love to make another Western, and I'm working with the producers out in New Mexico and the producers that I worked with before to hopefully do another one. And I think people should definitely check it out. And, you know, it's funny, you were saying that you're fans of Virgin High and all that. You know, that was all of those songs were my band at the time, the Chex. And in all those Up All Night movies, all the songs were me. And played all the clubs on the Sunset Strip back in the day. And I just recorded a new album this year, so you might want to check that out as well.
Where can people find that album?
That album is everywhere. It's called Double Life. Richard Gavai and the Chex. It's called Double Life. And on my website, richardgavai.net, is the only place where if you actually want an old school traditional CD, I have those. Because I made some for my friends. But it's on, you know, it's streaming everywhere for free. It's streaming on Spotify and iTunes and all those places.
And
don't listen to it for free. Buy the CD. Go to Richard's website.
Justice is on digital and on demand now. You check out Richard's movie. Richard, you got like a Twitter account that people can reach out to you at? All billion of our Twitter. Listeners.
I don't know. I'm Richard Gaba. I think it's an underscore thing. I'm on Twitter. They can reach out to me there. G-A-B-A-I. My website, richardgabai.net. There's a little contact. On one side, it's my agent. If they call you back, let me know. Just kidding. on the other side is a little link where anyone who wants to send me a message can. But yeah, definitely follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. And let's talk again soon about something great.
Sounds great, Richard. Thank you so much for calling in.
Enjoyed it. Take care, fellas.
Take care.
Thanks, Richard.
Oh, see, Travis, he could have done the research himself. Travis was like, Mike, why didn't you give me the bio on Richard Gabai?
He just fanboyed out there, too, big time.
That I found out organically is way more exciting to me than if I would have, like, Googled his name. Like, to find out mid-interview that he starred in one of, like, the essential motion pictures of my youth.
A good interviewer, they know all the stuff before the guy
pretty
says
great.
It. You know what I'm
pretty
saying?
Great.
In the chat, Michelle says, this guy is not taking Mike's dinosaur shit.
Now, he didn't want to hear you talking about putting dinosaurs in his, like, serious Western.
Tell me a movie that would not be better if there's dinosaurs in it. I'm just speaking
Jurassic
facts.
Park.
Mario Brothers.
Speaking facts.
Titanic.
Drunk, do you watch the singing shows?
My lady does. I try to.
Did you watch The Four?
No.
See, what I thought The Four was.
Isn't that starring future owner of the Carolina Panthers, P. Diddy?
P. Diddy and what's that DJ Khaled guy?
DJ Khaled.
Megan Trainor.
You know that DJ Khaled guy, his top song on Spotify is basically just him playing the Santana song Maria Maria and pretending like it's his song. I mean, like,
he, most all those guys. Those guys.
It's just Maria Maria, but he just plays it and then some gal raps over it. And he's like, yeah, that's my song. So all he really did was acknowledge that Maria Maria is a good song and just played that.
That's what we're
we should from week to week. We should just play episodes of WTF with Marc Maron.
Just play WTF and be like, yeah, no, we produced this.
Yeah, well, we'll talk over it a couple of times and it'll be great.
I don't understand modern music, Drum.
It's okay.
But you know what I do love?
What do you love, Mike?
I love more than anything, now that we're on the topic of this. I was going to get into a whole thing about The Four, but I do love music lawsuits.
Oh.
It's been long documented on this program, is that I love the music lawsuits.
Okay.
And there was a new one this week.
Sure.
Matt, did you happen to see the music lawsuit this week?
You know what? I feel like I did read about a music lawsuit, but I'm not sure.
You're familiar with the Radiohead song Creep, correct?
That's a pretty old song, yep.
People know, I'd say of the songs in this category, this is probably the one that everybody knows, right?
I hate this song.
It's not a good song. And you know what irritates...
It's not that bad, geez.
Well, it's overplayed,
it's a shit song.
Is what it is. When it came out, I liked it like everybody else.
Nicky. Sure shit, Richard Gabai is fucking virgin high. There he is. That's amazing. Burt Ward. That's so cool.
So
Travis has turned into the chat. It's off topic.
It's covered all the time. It's
so many
lame.
People cover that fucking song.
It's the song that people cover, like, when they want to show that they're deep.
I feel like it should be the next Napier karaoke.
He probably has done it.
It's kind of hard to sing. It was one of the tracks in the first iteration of Rock Band. It's not easy. You have to mumble.
Don't worry, Travis. I can cover this song just fine.
So this week, Lana Del Rey, you know the lady that's sad all the time?
Yes.
All her songs just sound like she's kind of sad. It was put out there on the interwebs that Radiohead is suing Lana Del Rey for a song on her new album that sounds kind of like Creep.
Okay.
And she tweeted about it and said, hey, I have offered Radiohead up to 40% of the publishing on this song to, like, you know, just make it go away.
Yeah.
But they only want 100%. They want nothing less than 100% of the publishing on my song. And so I will play you some of this song.
Yeah, I got to hear a little bit.
Yeah, you tell me what you think. I don't really hear it. I mean, a little bit.
This is my commitment, my modern manifesto.
Oh, you don't hear it?
Yeah, but I mean, is it enough to sue?
Yes.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah.
Even in, like, her, when she says manifesto,
manifesto,
it's like she's even got the cadence in her voice.
But do you think...
My modern manifesto, I'm such a fucking loser.
See, now, like, this one I heard, and I was kind of like, okay, I mean, there's similarities, but, I mean, like, are we really nitpicking that much that it sounds that much like it?
Those few seconds, that sounds exactly like Chris.
Start it over again. Start it over again.
Really?
The only difference is that she's got like a backing track. Like there's some gal saying, otherwise, it's the exact same song.
So, do you want to hear the funny part of this whole story? Now, that in itself isn't really all that funny. But
she got sued, and then she had to go do scat to make the money up.
And then she got sued by the scat man.
No, the funny thing about it, guys. Is that Richard Gabay was in Revenge of the Party Nerd. I like that guy. He's a nice guy.
He was fun.
He's a nice guy.
More importantly, he was in Virgin High.
Right. And Dinosaur Island. That's a classic. That movie's great.
He grabbed a big old handful of that woman's breast.
I couldn't believe that clip was on YouTube, by the way. I thought they screened for that shit.
When you go down in the comment, like the third comment is a guy going to that specific part of the movie. Link was like, you can link to specific scenes in the movie. Right. Somebody just went straight to the fuck scene, Matt, and that's what I sent you.
There's a lot of them, actually.
Straight to the fuck scene.
All of those links, those are all fuck scenes.
What it's I was crazy. Really hoping is that somebody had links in the comments going straight to the dinosaur scenes. Maybe that's just me. Cares.
Somebody said there's only two scenes of dinosaurs, but the rest are fuck scenes.
Matt, I'm not done with my music bit.
Sorry.
Radiohead put out Creep in 1992, and soon after they released the song and it became a big hit, they were sued by the Hollies, who released a song called The Air That I Breathe in 1974 that they thought sounded like Creep.
Yeah.
And Radiohead gave 40% of their publishing to the Hollies for their similarities in this song.
If I could make a wish, I think I'd pass.
No, that sounds nothing.
A little
better.
It's walking out the door.
You're right. I would say Radiohead did deserve to pay them 40% because it sounds 40% like that song. And Lana Del Rey should give 100% to Radiohead because her song sounds 100% like Radiohead.
I love the music lawsuits, though, because I think that it's silly and every song kind of sounds like other songs.
Yeah, they it sounds to me like Radiohead is just trying to make up for the 40% that they lost on that song.
Of course. They should just pull the Weird Al thing and just claim parody. As soon as a lawsuit surfaces where they're like, your song sounds a lot like this song that we did, 10, 15 years ago, you just be like, yeah, this is a parody of it. You can't sue me.
I Weird Al'd it.
Yeah, Weird Al'd it. Fuck
Creep
you.
Creep is a Weird Al parody.
Weird Al is the man, I mean.
So these singing shows. The four, what I thought the four was, isn't what the four is, because, after they're doing like a 6-week run, and at the end of the 6-week run, somebody is going to win the four and be the winner. And that's not what I think that these shows, now The Voice goes on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Voice never stops. They end a season, they crown someone The Voice. And then a couple of weeks later, they start to find another The Voice.
Right.
But there's never anybody from The Voice that anybody knows.
or does anything afterwards.
People stopped becoming famous from these singing shows after American Idol season like 4 or 5.
Yeah, like Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood are really like the only two.
Daughtry.
Yeah, well, and I mean, even Daughtry's really kind of faded out.
Yeah, but, he's but, I mean, still like, around, but
there's not still one The Voice that anybody knows anything about.
I've never heard of The Voice hit mainstream.
So
I mean, have any of these shows really produced anybody?
The Four. Drunk.
We just listed
American
off.
Idols.
Yeah, we just listed well, off.
Besides the American Idol people, the other ones.
Where have you been drunk?
What I thought The Four was
Susan
going
Boyle,
to be.
America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent.
Is there are four people that are The Four. Mm. And every week people come out to sing. And if the four judges all decide they're good enough, or this is what The Four actually is. If they decide the challenger is good enough, then the challenger gets to challenge one of the four. And then they both sing a song, and then the audience decides which one was better, and whoever wins is one of the four.
I would always pick P. Diddy every single time.
Well, the P. Diddy isn't one of the four. P. Diddy's a judge on the show.
Oh, I and thought see, they were the four.
What I thought is, like, you know, like Jeopardy and America's Funniest Home Videos, every week there's somebody, or every day, isn't Jeopardy every day?
Daily, yep.
Somebody is on Jeopardy, and if they win, they come back the next week.
That's correct.
And then you just get another week at Jeopardy to win more money, and if you win, you keep coming back. And that Ken Jennings guy, he won, like, 50 days in a row or something. And they were like,
Oh
my God, Ken Jennings, he's kicking ass. This Ken Jennings, he's the shit. But nobody gives a shit about who wins The Voice because you have to watch like 30 weeks.
Right. 3 months worth of episodes, right?
To find out who The Voice is. And then there's another The Voice, and nobody gives a shit because once they're out of the public eye, nobody gives a shit anymore. If every week was a self-contained thing and they have four people that compete and then maybe like one or two challengers, I'd say the champion comes back. And then there's like four or five other people that get to sing. And then America votes which one was the best. And if you win, you keep coming back. And if you win over and over and over again, you build up a following of people that have voted for you every week. And you just keep it going like Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And then every week there's a champion. And then they can come back and sing again.
So kind of like the restaurants that have the two hamburgers and the one hamburger that wins comes back the next week for the challenge.
Restaurants have hamburger competitions?
Are you kidding me?
Flame Top is my enemy. That one?
What are you talking about? What are we talking about, guys? I'm talking about a singing show. You're talking about hamburger votes in a restaurant.
Yeah.
The hamburgers are about as important as all of these people on these singing competitions. So,
Travis, that's because we don't do it right. If we do it like Jeopardy, and every week you have three challengers and one singer, and you say, okay, this is the champion. They're going to sing. And then these are the three challengers. Which one do you think's the best?
Yeah, that's assuming we go back to the days when Star Search was the only talent competition. And
why is there no more Star Search?
Singing shows on at a time.
Yeah, it'd be the best singing show.
Right. Should be only one singing show, if any.
And it's because you get that instant gratification. You get to find out what the funniest video was at the end of every show.
Get $10,000 for kicking the dead in the balls.
He hit him in the balls with a wiffle ball bat. He won $10,000. See you next week.
There he is in the audience. Look, ask him a question about getting kicked in the balls.
Bob Saget did funny voices over all of these.
You're thinking Dave Coulier.
No, Bob Saget.
He also did those.
Make him self-contained. Yeah. And that I thought that's what the four was.
Or you could just be like Tosh.0 and not give these fools money.
Just make fun of them.
He did Web Redemptions. He gave people money to come on that show.
They're asking in the chat, why are there judges if the audience votes? See, what the judges do is the judges determine whether or not the singer performed well enough to challenge one of the four. And if their four circles
all turn blue, that means they win. But if they get a red circle, then Fergie gets mad. And she says, oh, you weren't good enough.
That's more of a justification than there was for American Idol, where judges literally meant nothing at all after the initial tryouts.
You need that interactivity is what you need, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
You need the interactivity. You need to get the audience involved. That's what we need to do, Travis. We need to get the audience involved. The audience is disconnected from our program. The audience listens passively. We need to engage them. That's our big goal for 2018.
Try to get them to support the Patreon.
We're going
to
engage. No, I don't care about the Patreon.
I kind of care about the Patreon. So,
one you engagement. Could
support us on Patreon.
Guys.
But also listen guys, and tell guys, your friends.
Patreon, don't give a fuck about Patreon.
That's Mike's view only.
Guys. I want engagement. I want you to listen
with your dollars on Patreon
to the program. And I want you. Yeah, I want you.
2017 was the year we couldn't even get anybody to click the MyBookie link. Just to click it, nobody would even click the MyBookie link.
It's all going to change this year, Travis.
2018, we're gonna get MyBookie.og. And I just want you to click that this year, guys. We're gonna
tweet the MyBookie link.
It is the year of bits.
Are you
and
sure?
It is the year of audience engagement.
I'm never on Twitter.
And this is the question that I want to ask the audience this week, and I want your opinions on it, okay?
Twitter poll.
If you were the father of a young girl.
Oh, boy. Ooh. Here we go.
I am.
This sounds like a 2017 question to me.
Okay, you're the father of a young girl, and your daughter comes home from spending time at her friend's house.
Uh-huh.
This has happened to me before.
And you notice that your daughter's fingernails are painted.
Okay.
Oh, yep. All right. I see where this is headed.
And you say, oh, your fingernails are painted. How did that happen? Did you do that over at your friend's house? And she says, no, Daddy. My friend's dad painted all of our fingernails.
Uh-huh.
Are you skeptical of this situation? Just in a general sense.
Are you skeptical of the situation?
Like, do you think this is a weird thing? Do you think, like, why is this dad painting all these girls' nails? I mean, in the parlance of our times, drunk.
Maybe he's a good father.
Maybe he's a single dad.
You're not weirded out by this?
Not by if he's a single dad.
No. What if he's not a single dad?
Well, where was the mom?
What would the single dad thing have come into any of it?
Well, because he's still got to like put on the airs of like a slumber party. You know what I mean? Like he's the mom and the dad to his kids. So he's, you know, trying to play the mom for his daughter's friends.
I'm not a father. So
I mean, why do you put gender stereotypes on it? I mean, why can't a father openly paint anybody's nails?
And Michelle in the chat says, nah, he just sounds like a good guy. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Sounds like you're wrong, Mike.
Matt, maybe I'm wrong.
You're wrong. I'm telling you.
Let's just find out, though, and put it to our audience to contact Mike on the Twitters and let him know or email at WFODshow@gmail.com.
Matt, I've been haunted by this, like for weeks. It's been bothering me. I've been wondering if this is a weird thing.
I was on the phone with Mike the other day, and I said, "Hey, Mike, I gotta go. I gotta paint my daughter and her friend's nails because they all wanted me to paint their nails, and it was my daughter, and she had two friends over.
So what's the problem with that?
Painted everybody's nails.
It's not weird, Travis.
Toenails.
I think it'd be even weirder if it was toenails.
I mean, you didn't paint like your sister's fingernails when you were growing up or anything? Or?
No. No. No.
Hmm.
Huh. Well, I mean, maybe people can let me know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong, guys.
Hey, let's school Mike. Just let you know. 2008. Let's school Mike. 2018, you know, it's a new year. He's more open than he was in 2017. He's willing to take your suggestions and maybe you'll change his mind.
I am, Travis. I've grown significantly in two weeks. I feel as though I've blossomed as a man. You know, I was faced with a a dilemma the other day as to the kind of man that I wanted to be.
Mike, you're the kind of guy that calls the fire department when you hear a fire alarm. Mike, you do the right thing.
That's the right thing, right?
That is exactly the right
thing.
You
don't ignore the fire alarm. The fire alarm goes off for a reason. You want to find out why the fire alarm's going off.
Mike, is the house close enough to where if there was a fire, it could damage your house?
Absolutely. It's next door.
Then why the fuck wouldn't you call the fucking fire department?
Because it was just in the dumpster, and I'm a silly goose.
Did you know that?
Yeah, because you probably can't hear a smoke detector through two different house structures.
Had some time to kill the other day. Went to a thrift store.
Yeah. Did you pop some tags?
And and I saw over in the place where they have all the framed art, they had eye-catching painting over in the framed art section that caught my eye. I walked over to it, and I saw that it was spread out over three separate canvases. There was like a left side, a right side, and a middle.
Have you never seen these before?
They all went together. They were all priced at $3 a piece. This was original art. Somebody poured their heart and soul into this painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the painting. I thought that it was really interesting. I thought that it was cool. And I sat there and I looked at it for
a
while.
So you bought it?
Well, no, Drum. But the painting put me in like a moral dilemma.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm looking at the painting and I'm trying to decide what kind of man I am.
Okay.
Am I a man that can appreciate art and buy three canvases priced at $3 a piece? For a total of $9 for art that I appreciate. It's a painting. It was probably somebody's high school project. I mean, but I liked it. I liked the painting. I thought that it was really kind of neat.
So if you liked it, you should have bought it.
But my first instinct when I saw that these three were priced separately was just to buy the middle one to say fuck you to the whole thing.
Why would you do that?
Well, I didn't. But that was what my first instinct was. And it really, sent me into a whole tailspin where I thought about it for a long time. It's like, why am I like that? Why would I even think to do that? I liked the painting. Why would I want to break it up? That seems silly.
This is why you have a questionable mind, Mike.
And I just think it's weird that Matt got a bunch of little girls together and painted all their fingernails. I think it's weird. Maybe that's
like
my mind.
Up. I didn't like go out and herd little girls in my house and then start painting their nails.
My mind is broken, I think. So like I can't be trusted for anything. I thought the Justice League was fine. It's all seems to I'm the common denominator here. I'm like the odd man out in all of these things.
Mike, did you really think the new Ghostbusters movie was anything other than trash?
See, Napier, are you comparing Ghostbusters?
No, you don't have to compare it.
To the original Ghostbusters? Or are you just saying this is a movie that exists? Like, if it wasn't Ghostbusters,
that exists, Napier, it was trash.
It wasn't that bad. It was fine.
It was trash. It was really trash
bad.
On the level that the fucking Star Wars prequels were trash.
Well, the Star Wars prequels weren't trash. Get out of here.
It was made by people who don't know how to make movies. That's the beginning and end of it. People who don't know how movies are supposed to be made made terrible movies. They're terrible. They're not fucking watchable.
That's the Phantom Menace, when Liam Neeson's and Ewan McGregor, who left his wife of 22 years to bang some underage gal that had a crush on him when he was a teenager. Like with that fight at the end with them and the Darth Maul, that fight was cool.
It was
amazing.
It was a cool fight.
Yeah,
Darth Maul is amazing.
And you know what I felt when I left the Phantom Menace? That was a Star Wars movie. They did Star Wars things.
See, that's the thing that I, even when I talk about Justice League, right? There were two scenes in Justice League that I liked, and those were the scenes where the Justice League was facing off with Steppenwolf. Everything else around that movie is bad. It is not a good movie. But those two scenes are really enjoyable, but it's a bad movie.
You know what I liked about fucking Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2? The fight scenes weren't important. Like, yeah, they were fun fight scenes, but there was a rest of a fucking movie in between them.
Oh, so you're saying that Guardians of the Galaxy had zero stakes?
No, it's not. Well, well.
Worst part of the new Ghostbusters movie.
That's the mark of a quality motion picture where there's zero stakes and nothing matters.
Worst part of the new Ghostbusters movie was them trying to shoehorn in all the old Ghostbusters.
That was the... If they just would have... This is how you fix that Ghostbusters movie and make it just fine. And not my cup of tea, but just fine. Pretend that they were not the first Ghostbusters. The other Ghostbusters existed. These broads got together and decided, hey, we also want to bust some ghosts. Nobody else is doing it. These guys retired, and that's fine. Don't shoehorn all of the actors in, which is jarring, because every time you see one, it's like, oh, look, there's Bill Murray. What is he going to be doing? It's like, no, just pretend they're there, flash their faces and say there's Ray Stans and Peter Venkman and shit, and then carry on with your day. And then it's just fine.
I wrote a movie.
What's it called, Matt?
You want me to tell you the plot, or you want me to tell you the title?
First the plot, then the title.
Okay. Does the plot like build up to where the title is a good punchline?
No.
Okay. Then the title first.
Yeah, the title first.
It's called Turts and Me.
Okay. Who's Turts? Is it a dog?
No. It's a turtle.
It's a turtle. Does it live in like just enough water that it can never stop swimming?
See, Samuel Jackson. He plays a real estate mogul.
Is he a turtle?
No. Oh, no,
he's the guy. He gets a turtle.
And he's a real estate mogul.
If Samuel Jackson is unavailable, can you use Ice Cube?
Nope. It has to be Samuel Jackson. And he tries to tear down some wetlands.
What about Ving Rhames?
Well, Morpheus could do that.
And
Fishburne.
A witch is like, no, don't tear down these wetlands. But he's like, no, I'm going to do it. So she hexes him. Turns him into a turtle.
Oh, he's a turtle now.
So it's like that Kevin Spacey cat movie.
And he gets adopted by an autistic boy.
Oh, Augie from Wonder?
Mm-hmm.
Jacob Tremblay.
And does the autistic boy put him in just enough water that he can never stop swimming? He just has to constantly
swim? So Samuel L. Jackson can only communicate to the autistic boy, and the autistic boy is the only one that can hear him. And nobody believes the autistic boy when he's like, hey, this motherfucking turtle's talking to me.
Oh, like that Michael Keaton Snowman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Does Samuel L. Jackson ask why all these motherfucking turtles are on this motherfucking plane?
How much do you think it'll cost to make this movie?
So we have to pay for Samuel L. Jackson, but I have a $400 million CGI budget.
Well, then we're good. I was just thinking that maybe we could just take clips from a bunch of other Sam Jackson movies and cut them together.
And just like show the turtle's face and have the Samuel L. Jackson voice.
Well, see,
yeah, we'll do like a Bowfinger where we find Sam Jackson and record like we'll tape him without him knowing. And we'll do like the Bowfinger thing.
I want Sam Jackson to play the voice of the turtle.
Yeah, like
we want. I want Andy Serkis to play the CGI turtle.
So we're gonna get Weta Workshop to do the turtle.
Well, I say they made those apes look really good.
Yep. So that's what we need, like a real.
It's gonna cost a lot of money, guys.
Turtle. That's a great. I mean, you could just go the old school route where you animate the turtle and it would probably be just as good, but I like your thinking. Let's go really high on the budget and try to record.
All of the money we're going to sink into Sam Jackson, Andy Serkis, and the CGI for the turtle.
Cool.
So are you the cool house that all the girls go to? Because
they spend a lot of time over here.
Because you and your wife, you're the cool parents.
I don't know if we're the cool ones, but they do spend a lot of time over.
Yeah, they're definitely the ones that let all the little girls do all the weed.
Yeah.
Might not be the cool ones, but they supply narcotics.
Yes.
And nobody's concerned.
The autistic boy, he names his turtle Turts.
I would think an autistic boy could come up with a better name than that.
He couldn't.
Just has to constantly swim or he'll die.
Turts and me.
Turts and me. Can never, he takes him to school one time.
Never stop swimming.
Mm-hmm. The little bus. I'll watch that movie.
See, that turtle's going to help the autistic boy not get picked on as much.
Well, you know what we...
Autistic boy's going to help everybody realize that they need to save the wetlands.
Oh, and then he's going to not be a turtle anymore, and then he's going to save the wetlands, and he's going to build the foundation for all the wetlands. Turts' foundation for the wetlands. What I am going to suggest here real quick is to first make a children's book. Like, not a children's book with, like, pictures, but, like, you know, like how they did with Wonder, you know, it's, like, for young, like, a little older kids. We're going to write this novella. We're going to get them to read it in schools, and then we're going to release the motion picture so all of the kids beg their parents to take them to see this movie they don't want to see, and it's going to make $1 billion. We're going to have to talk off air about this.
Okay.
I'll help finance.
Pussy farts.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's 2018.
Travis, do you have a pick of the week?
I have a pick of the week. Travis's pick of the week.
Wait. Did you guys have 2017 picks of the year?
I don't think we need those.
We didn't really do a year-end show. I think we just kind of faded out on 2017. Timing was wrong.
Yeah, after the whole debacle.
There's like the debacle, and then there's, you know, Monday nights where Christmas and New Year's just didn't work out.
Okay.
Would you say the first show of 2018 was a success?
I thought it was fantastic.
We did. Every show is a success where Drunk is here, especially when he's here immediately after the music.
We did the blanket bit. It's the year of bits.
I just hope that today's guest could make up for the debacle from last year for Travis.
Please reach out to Mike and tell him what you thought about the blanket bit and that how much you thought it added to the episode.
You know, 2018 is the year of bits, Travis.
Yeah, it's 2008. Yeah, it's like there's the year of the monkey and that kind of thing. This is the year of the bits.
It's the year of the bits, eh? And it's the year of audience interaction.
So we sticking anything in my mouth sometime soon? That's a bit, right?
Hell yeah, we are, Drunk. Think we should do that next week?
We can do it. It's your show.
Beloved bits, right, Mike? Beloved bits are coming back, but also plenty of new bits to satiate your bits cravings.
2018 is the year of bits. We're gonna have bits for days.
Like Jazzy's.
See, right now I do not have the blanket, but here we go. Here we go. Guys, my pick of the week.
That sounds so much worse.
My pick of the week is the Tonya Harding movie.
So what is this movie?
The Tonya Harding movie? Well, it was great.
What's it called? It's on Netflix or?
I, Tonya.
Terrible name.
It's a terrible name. I'm tired of I everything and I am everything. It loses a point for that, but it gains all the rest of the points. Movie was great.
What else are you going to call it when it's a direct sequel to iRobot?
Drunk, do you have a pick of the week?
Sure. My pick of the week is your little show idea about the Jeopardy singing competition.
Every week, self-contained.
Every week, self-contained.
Yeah. And Richard Gabay's Justice, right?
Yeah.
You watched the movie, Drunk.
You asked me to watch it, and I watched it.
And you...
You are shit. Drunk watched one of the things?
I did watch the thing.
It is 2018, a new year.
Travis, or not, it's a new year. Drunk watches the things.
And he showed up when the show started. It's crazy. This is amazing. 2018 year is a year of miracles.
And we're gonna be more positive. Because we have to be, because we're going to be doing so much more audience interaction.
I mean, really, on a scale, in comparison, there's no choice but to be more positive than we've been in the previous years, okay. Right?
Like, interaction. We're gonna do we're gonna do giveaways.
Ooh. Oh yeah, giveaways.
There's no limit to the possibilities of 2018 WFOD, you guys. It's the year of bits and all that entails. And I just want to know if your daughter came home with her fingernails painted.
Just put the Twitter poll out there, man.
And a 30-something-year-old man had painted your daughter's fingernails. Would that weird you out? Would you have questions? Would you want to know more? Or is that not like a, is that not an intimate thing? Is that an informal thing, painting nails? I don't know. I just want to know. I want you to tell me I'm wrong. That's what I want you to tell me.
All right.
If you can't, in good conscience, if you hear that, smoke detector going off next door, I want you to tell me. I want you to be honest.
All right, Travis, pick of the week.
Pick of the week for Travis. This is like a week or so off. We haven't been around. Is the movie Super Dark Times on Netflix? It's a coming of age flick. A couple of best friends. A horrible tragedy happens, and it's them trying to hold their friendship together. But when in reality, some dark, dark shit is going on in the under and in the background. It's comes to a head in an awful fashion, and it's very depressing, but also very good. So watch Super Dark Times on Netflix. And honorable mention, The Toys That Made Us on Netflix, which is essentially informative nostalgia porn. If you like toys from the 80s, you'll like The Toys That yes. Made Us.
So should I try to catch this Dinosaur Island flick? Or
Dinosaur Island is amazing.
Yeah, oh, it's on YouTube.
Definitely watch it.
Okay.
Oh, also, come back next week because I'm going to try to decode who or what Poppy is, internet sensation Poppy, as well as give you my thoughts on the Lifetime biopic Tale of Two Corys about Corey Feldman and Corey Haim.
Oh, guys, we didn't even talk about the guy who filmed the dead person in the forest.
We got next week for that.
It's all next week on WFOD.
Napier, you got to pick a
But next week, it won't be a news story anymore.
It's barely it's a news story now.
Yeah, it's kind of old, isn't it?
I love you, Travis.
Right on the same page there.
Barely a news story now, I guess.
Napes, pick of the week.
Yep, pick of the week.
I'm going to go with Bright, and don't watch that fucking show, End of the Fucking World, because it's fucking stupid.
My lady watched the whole season yesterday, and I agree with you. It was
Bright
terrible.
Is your pick of the week?
Bright is my pick of the week. Watch it. It's the best Will Smith movie in probably 10 years.
But everybody thought it was bad.
Welcome to Earth.
Idiots thought it was bad because they can't get into good writing.
Matt thought it was bad.
It wasn't good.
It was great.
And you just said good writing, Napier. You thought it had good writing?
Stannis is a rapist. What are you talking about?
I didn't see him do it.
Matt, pick of the week.
My pick of the week is that baby from Dinosaurs, the one that says that. Not the mama.
That's my mother.
Yeah, yes, I love it. I fucking love it.
Because it was a callback, and that's yeah. What you're here for, Drunk. You're callback guy.
Professional.
You bring it all back. Guys. Oh, what? That was weird.
Support our Patreon. We need new equipment here at the WFOD podcast.
We don't.
You hear our sound quality. Please support the Patreon.
Guys, I'm telling you, don't give a fuck about the Patreon.
Drunk and I both.
Guys, if you donate to Patreon, thank you. That's very nice of you. Don't give a fuck about the Patreon.
We need a new course.
Hey, you donate to the Patreon, and I'll call you personally at my cell phone, and we'll chat about whatever you want.
Is that a new Patreon perk?
That's like $15 though.
You can call and talk to Travis.
Talk to me personally. I'll give you a call. Whatever time of day you would like.
Travis, you don't take my calls.
No, I don't. I usually don't answer the phone, but I'll call somebody.
No, yeah, money. Travis will be making the call, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And that's Napier's mom.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Thank you for listening. Join us live every Monday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. Listen to our back catalog on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, wfodix.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at wfodix. Give us a call at 636-487-HAND. Email us at wfodshow@gmail.com. Special thanks as always to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya. If you like what you heard, tell a friend. Be back next week, motherfucker.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. I know. You've changed, Mike. Look, we're not going to make a thing about this. The show is happening whether you contribute money to it or not. But if you want to throw a buck or two at the dudes who make that thing you like, there it is. We're rewarding you, too, with 5-minute shows about whatever you want, shout-outs, stuff like that. Go to WFODix.com and find it in the Extras tab. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, too. Fuck. I have changed.